always with that sparkle of Paso Pie in her eyes. In 1989, Pastor Robles made it official. The city council passed a resolution naming Centennial Park Gymnasium the Norris Gymnasium, honoring Mary and Ray's contributions. Mary never sought recognition. She was just wanting to be a stronger, kinder person in Pastor Robles. But community made sure of her generosity would never be forgotten. When Mary turned 90, more than 100 friends gathered at Plymouth Hall to celebrate her, and the local paper described her as a woman who had fed ranchers, cowhands, engineers, and mechanics, as well as tended the sick and young for over half a century. In other words, she was Pastor Robles through and through, generous and always ready to lend a hand. Mary passed away in 1987 at the age of 91. She was laid to rest in the Pastor Robles Cemetery, but her spirit lives on in these buildings, parks, and people she touched. So next time you're in the gym or sitting at the Norris Room, remember you're part of a story that started with a remarkable woman and her love for Pastor Robles. Mary Norris was more than a name. She was a pioneer, a leader, and a neighbor, and a friend to the community. Her legacy reminds us of one person's generosity can ripple across generations. So there's a little bit of history about Mary, and that I didn't know. And I think that was furnished by our Historical Society, too?
It was furnished by our Community Services Department staff.
Okay, very good. Now, we'll go ahead and start with the roll call.
Councilmember Bausch?
Here.
Councilmember Beal?
Here.
Councilmember Gregory?
Here.
Councilmember Strong?
Here.
Mayor Hammond?
Here. And also begin with staff introductions on my right. Melissa?
Melissa Martin, City Clerk, joined by Mary Sponholz, Deputy City Clerk, and Aaron Lewis, IT Technician.
Warren Frace, Community Development Director.
All that staff back there, you're going to have to speak up too.
Wayne Brown, Maintenance Services Superintendent.
Ashley Hernandez, on the Services Manager. Leslie Frazier, City Manager. Lieutenant Fulton, Community Services Director. Rita Berman, Public Works Director.
James County Chief, Public Works Director. You know you're from Paso Robles.
Chris Uott, City Manager.
Elizabeth Hull, City Attorney.
Very good. I just want to compliment all the staff, too, that some of you that are in the room put this room together. From what I understand, it was a pretty grody place before, and you can see it now. It looks like it's brand new again. So all the electronics, everything that had to happen in here to transmit this across the world is all done in place by that staff, and the cleanup is just amazing. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Next, we'll have a report from closed session. Elizabeth Hall.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The council went into closed session on two items this evening. The first was public employee labor negotiations pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. They were discussing the employee organizations of the International Association of Firefighters, Paso Robles Police Officer Association, Service Employees International Union, unrepresented part-time employees, and unrepresented management. There is no reportable action from that matter. The second item is conference with legal counsel regarding initiation of litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D4. There was one case under consideration, and that had to do with property located at 639 Creston Road regarding grading and nuisance violations. There was no reportable action from that matter. Additionally, there is one third item As you're aware, there was a litigation between the San Luis Obispo Tribune, Mr. Bausch, and the city. That litigation I needed to report out once all of the conditions of the settlement had been reached. That has occurred, and the case has been dismissed. So that matter has been settled.
Okay, very good. Thank Elizabeth. Next is we have presentations, and I'm going to throw in a little extra that we don't have on the agenda. And if I could have Supervisor John Pashong, along with Queen Lorraine Caliero and Marshal Gary Tucker, join with me up front. We're going to give you a little presentation.
Too much.
No, it's not.
You made it. Let's kind of go over here.
Okay.
So John and I have both some certificates of recognition, and they're basically thanking Queen Caliero and Marshal Tucker, and that's not the band, for their service as our Pioneer Day Queen and Marshal. Our certificates of recognition read as follows. On behalf of the City of Paso Robles and the City Council, we congratulate you on being honored as the 2025 Paso Robles Pioneer Day Queen and Marshal, and we thank you for your dedication and to preserve the history, traditions, and community spirit of Paso Robles. Thank you, Lorraine. Give it out.
On behalf of the County of San Luis Obispo, I'd like to present this certificate of recognition to Lorraine Caliero in recognition of being honored as the 2025 Paso Robles Pioneer Day Queen for your dedication in preserving the history, traditions, and community spirit of Paso Robles. And for those of you in the back, it's signed by all five supervisors, which, if you know anything about our board, that's a big deal. And this certificate of recognition is to Gary Tucker in recognition of being honored as the 2025 Paso Robles Pioneer Day Marshal for your dedication to preserving the history, traditions, and community spirit of Paso Robles.
Lorraine?
Well, it was a huge honor and so much fun, and I just loved representing Paso Robles. We have a great town here. Thank you.
Gary?
I want to thank everybody. It's an honor. And thank John and John.
Thank you. Thanks, John. And we have one more presentation from my side. We have, if I could have Leo Casillo, VFW president, join with me up front. And you're
quartermaster.
Thanks for being here, guys. The proclamation is Veterans History and Appreciation Month, November 2025. Whereas the people of the County of San Luis Obispo have great admiration and utmost gratitude for all the men and women who selfishly served their country and this community in armed forces to protect and preserve the freedoms enjoyed by our citizens and all Americans. And whereas freedom is certainly not free, every veteran swears an oath to serve and will be willing to lay down his life or her life for our freedom. And whereas every veteran has paid the price by leaving their families and communities to place themselves in harm's way for the good of all. And whereas many citizens of our community have given the ultimate sacrifice by laying down their lives while serving in the armed services. And whereas the contributions and sacrifices of 14,027 men and women living in San Luis Obispo County served in the armed forces have been vital in maintaining the freedoms and the way of life enjoyed by our citizens and others around the world. And whereas, California Military and Veterans Code Section 1365 designates the full week of November as, I should say full month, full month of November as Veterans Appreciation. And during the Veterans History Appreciation Month, all levels of government and private citizens will become more together to honor and recognize our veterans for the great sacrifices they have made defending our freedom and to pay deep respect for those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of authority vested in me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire Paso Robles City Council, do hereby proclaim November 2025 to be Veterans History and Appreciation Month in the city of Paso Robles.
This is a nice plug for our veterans event that's coming up November 9th, so thank you for this opportunity. It is free for all to attend. It's not just for veterans and their families. It will be at the Vets Hall. We wanted to celebrate this proclamation that day to showcase our hall at 240 Scott Street with vendors with tacos. There's also going to be hot dogs. There's going to be a cornhole competition, resources for veterans and their families, whether it's job opportunities, home loans, education, as well as things for the kiddos, beer and wine for purchase, and the ABC license was submitted, just so if anyone's asking. And I appreciate the city of Paso Robles celebrating veterans, recognizing veterans, and continue to support us in all our endeavors to support the community. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commander.
Thank you, Sal.
Next, we have item two on presentations, Library and Recreational Services End of Season Report. Angelica, you have that for us? Or is it going to be tag team with Linda? Yeah, two, okay.
Thank you. You'll get both of us tonight, but we're going to start with Linda because she's got to welcome you to the new Norris Room at Centennial Park.
Good evening. How's that sound? Is that okay? Close enough? Okay. I'm going to make sure my little clicker's working. Oh, it is. Can I go back? Okay. Linda Flesha, Recreation Services Manager. Good evening, Mayor and City Council. It is my pleasure to present the end of season report for Recreation Services, along with Angelica 14 for Library Services, or as I like to call it, Library and Recreation Services, Making Life Better Together. Let's jump into it. I would like to begin with welcoming you to Centennial Park, the home of Recreation Services. You may have noticed we have a large gymnasium right next door. We also have meeting rooms, a teen center, pickleball, tennis, and basketball courts, a large swimming pool, picnic areas, a demonstration garden, a playground, and a walking trail. We hope you will have an opportunity to enjoy all of this while you're out here. A highlight of our summer report is our wonderful aquatics program. We kicked off the season with swim assessments and our Super Summer Sign-Up Day on May 10th. We offered an online registration option this year that 75% of our customers took advantage of for a new one-day high of $50,000, $430, in aquatics registrations in one day. We were pretty surprised. We provided 161 private lessons and 883 group lessons with a total attendance of 7,708 and a public swim attendance of just over 3,000. We also provided teen swim lessons and diving lessons this year, and we extended private swim lessons, squim, and aqua jam classes at the Centennial Pool through September. I always say our Thursday concerts in the park are my favorite part of summer because it's true. In partnership with the Paso Robles Rec Foundation and Jaylor Vineyards and Wine, we hosted 9 concerts with approximately 21,000 attendees, and we raised over $9,725 for recreation scholarships, providing opportunities for people of all ages and financial status the opportunity to participate in programs offered through recreation services. Community sponsors contributed $39,525 in support of the free concert series hosted in our iconic city park under the beautiful illuminating tree lights. It was absolutely gorgeous. Our team always enjoys hosting the Fun Zone at the annual July 4th celebration. Our Field Zone games, Hula Hoops, and New Big Blocks collection were all very popular this year. We also hosted a ribbon cutting for the reopening of Royal Oak Park, a reception for our outgoing and incoming advisory members, and 3 public art outreach projects at the summer concerts. We provided several special summer camps and programs, the most popular being Zookeeper Training Camp with 59 participants, and Babysitting and CPR Skills Camp full with 27 participants. We have a new volunteer program at our Uptown Family Park. Volunteers planted a community garden and host monthly workshops on the 4th Saturday of each month. We scheduled 2 overnight tournaments at Barney Schwartz Park. 36 men's and co-ed teams registered for the Paso Adult Softball Tournament held in August. Our picnic areas throughout town are popular places to gather and enjoy birthdays, family reunions, and celebrations, and we processed 90 reservations for get-togethers this summer. Youth sports participation is continuing to grow in popularity this fall. Paso Robles Youth Baseball registered over 250 participants for their fall ball program, and Paso Robles Youth Football and Cheer and AYSO Soccer registered over 1,000 participants for their 2025 seasons. The Teen Center, Open Gym, and Kids Corner programs open to children in kindergarten through 12th grade are as popular as ever, and over 125 youth attended the Welcome Back Party on August 25th, and we average over 65 participants each afternoon. That's it for me, and I'll turn it over to Angelica.
Thank you, Linda.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Our City Librarian, Melissa Bailey, couldn't join us tonight, so as the former City Librarian and Community Director, Community Services Director, I have the pleasure of providing the library's presentation, and I'm very excited to do that. It's been a little while since I've had that opportunity. It was a very busy season, and with 6 staff vacancies, there were certainly challenges. But thanks to the dedication of our team and the support of key partners, we ensured that our services remained strong and impactful. The Library Foundation, Friends of the Library, and the California State Library funded our summer reading program this year. The Paso Robles Joint Unified School District provided lunches at all library summer meal sites and allowed us to serve from the Culinary Academy. And recreation services offered space for meals, bookmobile stops, and pool access. We truly couldn't have provided such a robust program this year without them, and we are very grateful. This year, we took summer reading on the road again with the help of our newest asset, the bookmobile Bibliobus, featuring Cornelius. That's Cornelius there, or like I like to call him in Spanish, Cornelio, the library's new brand ambassador. With the help of every member of the team, we provided access to meals, enrichment activities, reading materials, and library services for all ages. From June 10th to August 10th, the Paso Robles City Library hosted a variety of free programs, events, and classes, and enrichment opportunities for all ages. The wide variety of opportunities included the thought-provoking Socrates Cafe, which encourages adults to explore philosophical conversations, and the under-the-sea-themed preschool prom that gave kids the chance to dance freely in their coolest and shiniest outfits. Hands-on music opportunities included drumming for all ages and a visit from the Slow Orchestra Symphony Petting Zoo, where kids had the chance to touch and play with a variety of instruments. Addressing youth food insecurity during the summer months remains a key priority. This summer, we hosted 37 meal services across 5 locations, serving approximately 1,745 meals. Meals for Youth were funded by the Lunch at the Library grant. Unfortunately for us, the Library Foundation also funded meals for adults. That means that when kids came in with their family members, grandparent, caregiver, we didn't have to turn anyone away. All meals were prepared by the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District, and sites included the library, Oak Park Community Center, the Culinary Academy, the Municipal Pool, and Centennial Pool. Through our partnership with Recreation's Aquatics Department, grant-funded pool passes allowed free entry for a child and accompanying adult at every Friday meal service. Over the summer, 300 passes were used, and combined with our launch and finale parties, we sponsored 941 swimmers in total. Of course, the bookmobile was the star of the summer. Despite our outreach position being vacant, we made 22 stops and circulated 187 items during our 9-week program. The bookmobile brought books and joy to every corner of the community, from cookbooks to bedtime dinosaur tales and Spanish language counting books. We kicked off and wrapped up the summer in partnership with Recreation Services, hosting the library summer launch and finale parties at Centennial Pool. Each party saw over 200 participants and featured door prizes, food, games, and bookmobile, and of course, swimming. Our launch party encouraged readers to sign up for the program to log their minutes in our online reading tracker, allowing them to read towards a reward, a finisher's t-shirt, and earn entries into our grand prize drawing. This year, our grand prize was a $400 gift certificate to the Cal Poly Performing Arts Center, meaning that our winner would be able to attend the symphony, a theater production, or concert of their choosing.
So cool.
And that was funded through the foundation as well. Yeah. Over the course of the summer, over 8,000 members of our community were able to eat, engage, and enjoy all that you've seen tonight, thanks to our wonderful partners and our hardworking staff. As we move into the fall, we're thrilled to announce that our team is now fully staffed. With all 6 vacant positions filled, we're looking forward to a new year full of potential possibilities and programming. Thank you for your continued support of our library and recreation services and the vital role we play in our community.
Okay, very good, Angelica. Thank you again. A very great presentation. Any questions of Angelica?
Actually, this could go to either of you. You know, from what I can tell, the type of services that you're offering and that people are participating in is evolving. And I think even sometimes managing the staffing, you know, because you had like an aquatics person running that, that gave you stability. You were able to like extend out the season and serve more people. Those investments are so important. So just in a general way, how do you see programs evolving? How do you see the needs of the communities, both on the rec and the library side?
Yeah. Both the Library and Recreation Services actually have strategic plans. We had received so much feedback from our community in developing those plans, which really led to the addition of some of the current positions we have, which include the full-time aquatics manager, the supervisor, our tech services librarian, our outreach librarian, and all of those positions have really allowed us to expand our programming. But really what we are being guided by are those strategic plans. Our department really is about community engagement and making sure that we're paying attention to what the community wants and needs so that we can be responsive. So I think we'll continue to offer our core programming, but continue to evolve and be flexible so that we can best meet community needs.
Okay, questions over here? On this side? No questions? Well, thank you again for recreational and library services. You guys, all the hundreds and hundreds of hours that you guys do, it's amazing. And your creativity to give our Roblands all this opportunity for them to participate. Very well done.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. We move now to general public comments. This is the time that the public may address the council on items within its purview but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Council or staff may briefly respond to statements or questions posed by the public. Please fill out a speaker card and information given to our city clerk when you come up to speak, and you will have 3 minutes. Those people wishing to speak on any item scheduled on tonight's agenda will be given the opportunity to speak when that item is being considered. So, anyone, come on, get started. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Becky Jorgensen here from Hope's Village.
I'm sorry that I'm not as happy as everyone else. I'm here to talk about homelessness. We all know about homelessness, but Hope's Village can provide a solution. Our major concern is the women in the Salinas Riverbed having babies down there. I know you've all heard the story, but I've heard it from enough people that I believe it. We've been looking at Borky Flats. We would love to be able to get a memorandum of understanding for that land. Even though it's a flood zone, we have a plan where the flood would not bother us. Hope's Village has been around for 13 years. We're a 501c3 California corporation. We are an all-volunteer board, all-volunteer helpers. Everyone is in this for the very long haul. We have 15 people doing outreach on the streets, and they have been doing that since COVID. They pass out water and sleeping bags and tents and backpacks, but mostly love and hope. There's a lot of people out there that are just devastated. I mean, it's just crushing, and they're someone's sister or mother or brother or aunt, and we can help. We tried to help in San Luis, and I am grateful to say that they have several housing programs going, but we still have 400 people waiting to get into Prado, 300 people waiting to get into Echo, and there's no legal place for them to go. And we all know that with the current staff in the White House that we're not going to get money for homelessness. He's ripping it away from us. So we have a plan, and we're asking that you put us on the agenda for further information, and I'd like to tell the gentlemen who are veterans here, if they're still here, we have a program called RVs for Veterans. We've passed on 146 vehicles, automobiles, sedans, RVs, motorhomes, and we get those veterans up off the street into a temporary tiny home of their own on wheels. The county's doing very well on housing our homeless veterans, but there's just too many, and these aren't people from out of town. They're not people, transients coming by. They're our own county residents. I have one guy who's seventh generation. Took him 40 years to get housed. So I'm asking you to look at the information we've provided and get us on the agenda so we can give you a PowerPoint presentation. This could be your legacy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. That's exactly why it came out today. I spared the council this time, the long email. I came here because I'm completely frustrated. Where's the homeless director? Okay, you guys closed the last five beds to Echo. Chris has already heard this. Closed the last five beds to Echo. We're back to square one. I was very out of sorts last time I was here, and it did take me a minute to calculate that all these fires down here are also a result. So as far as I'm concerned and as far as what I can see, we're at square one. I haven't seen anything from the homeless director other than developing partnerships with other agencies, okay? But right now, I was standing outside and it's sprinkling. And I want the council to remember, as every time you go home and you go in your warm bed, there's people that are out there, surprisingly now having babies. That's shocking. I think that it needs to be an urgent situation. If there are agencies that are volunteering to help us, why not? I just can't see, and I said this in the email, is I don't know how this council believes it's appropriate for our public safety, fire, and police to be risking their lives for a situation where we had a shelter originally designated for them. So when I sit in my little tiny trailer, the half cold, because it's old and it's 50 degrees, but I have the luxury of a heater bed or a heater pad. And I do sometimes think about all the people that are just a couple blocks away from me suffering. Okay, the only thing as far as I'm concerned at this point that should matter is who's down there. Rain is coming, we're talking about rescues again. So I understand there was supposed to be a 10 bed, we talked about it last time. And I was told November, but hey, it's raining today. So I hope that you guys, now that you've closed out Echo for the night to night stays,
that you develop something immediately and urgently to help get some of these people, especially if there are babies living down there. Especially if there's babies. I mean, like she said, this is your sisters, your brothers, and these are our residents. My cousin lives in an encampment in Santa Maria. We can't get her out. But I very much understand the situation. We need to provide shelter immediately. I'm really shocked we're at square one again. I really am. Because I stood up for Echo all these years. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Carolyn Huddleston. I live in Creston, but I do most of my shopping here in Paso Robles. And I've noticed as I drive around town that you have a problem, that you have homeless that are loitering in front of businesses. And it makes it very uncomfortable to go into a business when people are loitering in front of it. I understand it creates a lot of problems for the business owners. And the homeless need a place to go. They're not just gonna disappear. Even though the police may come in and make them move, where are they gonna move to? They need a place to go. And you have a problem? We would like to help solve that problem. We would like to build a tiny house village for the homeless people so that they have a place to go. And they can help us build the village. That will give them something to do. They'll become productive citizens. Even though they may not have money to pay rent, they might not be able to do a job, but we can provide places for them to go and things to do and become productive citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Just to set the rules, we only wave our hands here in Paso Robles. The applause kind of disrupts the meeting, so please just wave your hands if you approve. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Kimberly. I run Hope for Ashland Mental Health Homeless Street Outreach in Paso Robles. I am an unpaid advocate. I am here today because our most vulnerable residents are being failed by the system meant to protect them. The San Luis Obispo County, we are unique for having three homeless shelters. This is almost unheard of for a county of our size. Yet despite this, we do not have one single emergency bed in this entire county. What we are seeing is a revolving door, people cycling in and out of shelters without real help and permanent solutions. These shelters describe themselves as low barrier, meaning they will accept people struggling with addiction, mental illness, physical disabilities, but what good is low barrier entry if there's no real support once they're inside? Clients are often handed pamphlets and told to speak to services on their own. For individuals battling severe addiction, schizophrenia, dementia, or physical disabilities, this is simply impossible. These are the very people who need intensive case management and hands-on help, not a list of phone numbers. Many residents are being evicted from shelters after 90 days, but often without proper case management or any follow-up care. Caseworkers are overwhelmed, untrained, and unresponsive. People are being discharged to the streets without support, where their health rapidly declines, and sadly, most of them die. I know this because I see it every single day. I advocate for these people. I attend their funerals, and I personally make their crosses. We are watching our community die in riverbeds and on sidewalks while hundreds of thousands of dollars are being donated to end homelessness. Instead, what we have created is temporary respite beds, a shower, and then back to the streets with no solution. I can give you names and faces of people who have been in and out of shelters for 3 to 4 years struggling with addiction or mental illness and still have no disability, no support, no housing, and no progress. Meanwhile, others, often seniors and people with severe conditions, are being turned away or evicted because they are too difficult. That is the reality for families across this county, people fighting the system that is supposed to be fighting for them. We have staff in shelters with little... Is my time up?
No, that's
okay.
That's
we have staff in shelters with little to no mental or senior health care training making decisions about the lives of people with complex medical and psychiatric needs. There is no community oversight and no accountability. There's no public transparency. Policies for our shelters are outdated or unavailable, and shelters are easily making their own rules and decisions. I am here asking for action and oversight. We need trained professionals, people with experience in mental health, behavioral health, drug health, and senior care, working directly with our homeless communities. We need community oversight to hold the shelters accountable and ensure donations and funding are being effectively used. We need compassionate, hands-on case managers, not just pamphlets and phone numbers. If you want to understand the suffering, what suffering looks like, come with me and I will show you. Because I see it every single day, and the people suffering are not statistics, they are human beings, our neighbors, our parents, and our children. Anybody that's with me that is homeless, will you stand up? Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, good evening, Mayor, City Council members. My name is Aurora William. I think most of you are familiar with me. I've come up here a number of times to speak on the mental health and substance use and homelessness issues. I'm a master level addiction counselor, so I'm speaking from a position of education and knowledge. Our community, we have people in the riverbed dying. We have babies in the riverbed being born. I can think of, as some of these women were speaking, I can think of people by name. I can think of children by name. I can think of people in the riverbed who are pregnant right now and who need help and are not getting it. And they're not getting it because we don't have emergency rooms who can provide it, or we don't have CHC with OBGYN services. We have it because we have people who are mentally ill and don't understand how to go get help. Does anybody on this City Council understand or know the word anosognosia?
No.
Anosognosia? Anybody know what that means?
No.
It means that a person with mental illness lacks insight into their disease. They have a brain disease, and one of the symptoms of that brain disease means that they cannot understand what is going on. And when we have people down in the riverbed, when we have women who are getting pregnant, we have people with schizophrenia, we have people with bipolar disorder, we have people with major depressive disorder, we have people with anxiety, we have people with addiction issues, we have people with bipolar who are using methamphetamines. People's brains take off on their own and they lack the ability to get the help that they need. I'm going to agree with Kimberly, because she is suggesting, and I think this is a brilliant suggestion, but she is suggesting that there be oversight over our shelter, and that it be oversight with people who have an education in mental health, substance abuse, case management, that we have trained professionals who are helping our shelter navigate the clients that they work with. I think something Kimberly didn't mention is there's a young man right now who's fighting for his life. He is fighting for his life because he was hit by a car after he was discharged from our homeless shelter. And he was discharged because they said that he was using drugs. I don't know that he was or not, but I know that his behavior can be indicative, one, of using, or it could be indicative of withdrawal. He was taken in as a low barrier, and to throw somebody out to the street where they could be hit by a car, end up on life support, in my opinion, is criminal. And I think that if we put better oversight over the shelter, we can save lives, not just shuffle them.
Thank you. Yeah, we need to obey the rules, people. I don't want to have to leave, so thank you.
Hi, my name is Bob Shore. I'm a resident, a voter here in Paso Robles. I have had businesses in Paso Robles. I've grown grapes, made wine, consulted in the oil and gas business. I used to be the district engineer in charge of San Ardo, right north of here. I know this community. I've been a part of it all my life, on the way to the beach somewhere. I love this community. I have a lot of compassion for this community, and there's, as you see here tonight, there's a lot of people that agree with that. But we aren't handling the people of true needs. We don't train the people at ECHO to learn about how to deal with mental illness. It's a you need to be educated on how to do that. And there's no requirement in that in our advisors at ECHO. There's needs for medical support, and there's a tremendous lack of coordination between all the great facilities here in this county that are available through our probation and law enforcement people. They want to make sure that those people that are mentally ill don't stop, you know, don't continue to make issues that are stupid. But when a person has mental illness, they have that also disease that they don't know what to do with it. And the medical industry interviews them and talks to them and tries to figure out what kind of pills to take. And it's not a very high-tech industry. Mental illness and as a disease has been ignored for way too long. The groups that we are involved with, the previous two speakers were with Hope and Faith, the advocates for Ashley, also the Paso Cares group. We go down to the riverbed to the people where they're staying. We give them food twice a week. We give them clothing. We give them dry socks. We pray for them. We give them an example of the importance of doing the right thing and how to get away from the complications that they get exposed to all the time. Every night, someone raids a camp. Someone walking back from ECHO at 6 o'clock in the evening when it's dark to their camp that's a mile away. They get accosted. They fall in. They get hurt. There's some real oversight of needs of how to better handle this situation. Can I say that one of the problems is the effluent from the water plant? That is disease effluent. Your staff measures it. It has COVID in that effluent you put in the riverbed. It has other viruses that the treating facility, all it does is filter things and throw in some chlorine. And chlorine is a cancer-causing product. That's in the riverbed, too.
Can you summarize, sir?
And I just summarize that the water effluent needs to be better controlled, because we've got people with disease in their legs, that their legs are potentially going to be amputated right now. And it's getting the disease from the effluent from the water plant. And before we ship that water over into the Barney Swartz soccer fields, we've got to treat it. We've got to take care of it. And I again emphasize, as the other people, that the training of our support staffs really needs to be emphasized. They need to have better training on how to handle mental illness, how to handle medical issues, and the diseases of the riverbed.
Thank you, sir.
Please.
Great. Thank you, guys.
My name is Gloria Fema. I'm a member of the Paso Robles Democratic Club. For 1 minute, I'm going to speak just as myself. After hearing this very depressing news, I just want to add, as a retired healthcare professional of 40 years, and I just want to say, I don't know exactly what this council can do to help the situation.
Ma'am, can you address the council? Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, yeah. As long as we are supporting the people in the White House who choose to give tax breaks to billionaires instead of health care and universal health care for the people and mental health care for the people, it's only going to get worse. And I'm not quite sure what the solutions are, but I know as a community, We've kind of got to get it together, or more people will die. But I really don't think the people in power right now, they don't care. But anyway, here, on behalf of the Paso Robles STEM Club, I wanted to publicly thank the Paso Robles Police Department participants, along with the SLO County police officers, for their friendly cooperation while keeping us, 6,000 of us, safe during our anti-fascist demonstration entitled No Kings. In over 2,700 events, there were zero arrests among our participants.
Ma'am, this is not speaking to this item, is it?
This is what?
We're taking...
Public comment.
Yeah, public comment. If you want to shift, you're shifting to a different topic. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, not a problem.
I just wanted to say thank you to the police departments
yes.
for their cooperation and help.
Great.
And that's all I had to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Anyone else? Seeing none, do we have anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you for your comments. Again, this is a very important subject for Paso Robles. I think, again, we, as a city, I think one of the first to actually hire a homeless coordinator in the county to try to help to solve the situation. I mean, it's difficult, to say the least, for all of us. Anyone who has to live and work alongside some of the folks that we see, it's an important thing that we do try to help as much as we can. And that's the council's direction here, is to try to put our city resources in a point where it will do the most for our tax dollars toward this solution. ECHO is one way we're doing that, but there's others that you can certainly propose to staff. We're always open for anything that people have an idea on how we can, as a city, help it better. So I encourage any of you to contact our staff. City Manager Chris Huot would be the first to contact. So thank you for coming on and speaking on these items. Okay. We'll go ahead and close public comment. And we'll move on to agendas to be deferred. Mr. Huot, do we have any?
Mayor, excuse me. No items to be deferred this evening.
Okay. And next we come to the consent calendar. And these are items on the consent calendar that are considered routine and do not normally require separate discussion. However, any member of the council or the public that have specific questions or clarification on an item, we can address those now before the vote is taken. If a full discussion is desired by a member of the council or public, the item will be removed from the consent calendar and be considered separately and moved to the end of this discussion item's agenda. I will now ask council if they have any questions on the consent calendar and ask or to have anything pulled, left or right. Chris, Bill?
Nothing pulled.
Anything on this side?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Pro Tem Gregory?
Yeah. So Warren, this is a question on item three for the housing constraints.
Yes.
I see the people that you've appointed, which are great. Do you have a list of who's going to remain on the committee?
Yeah. So the housing constraints committee, the council reappointed all the active members, so they all remain. We had three vacant seats, one for the Home Builders Association, one for the Paso Chamber of Commerce, and one for a local real estate professional. So you'll be appointing those three remaining vacant seats, and then we'll have a fully seated housing constraints committee.
Okay, and is that list available online with the city website? Or?
Yeah, it should be on our website. We'll double check that.
Thank you very much.
Chris Beal.
Well, while we're on it, can you tell me what you're thinking in terms of a timeline and a frequency or sort of how this committee is going to be functioning moving forward?
Yeah, historically it's kind of met on an as-needed basis. Because we've been in the process of kind of reconstituting the Housing Constraints Committee with new bylaws and new appointments, we haven't had a meeting this year. Once we get these appointments confirmed, we will have a meeting in November, and then hopefully we'll get on to a more regular schedule moving forward.
Okay, got it. Okay, no other questions from council. I'll open it up to the public. Anyone wishing to have a question or have an item pulled on consent? Seeing none, we'll bring it back then to council. There's items 1 through 4 on the consent calendar. Looking for a direction and a reaction.
So, Mayor Hammond, I'd like to move that we approve items 1 through 4 on the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Gregory, second by Bausch. Discussion? Okay, we'll call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good.
Mr. Mayor, I think we skipped the city manager's overview. Would you like him to do that now?
Yes, if you, yeah, I'm sorry, I did miss that.
Mayor, thank you. So the items you just voted and approved on, item 1 was the approval of your meeting minutes from the October 7th City Council meeting. Item number 2 is the approval of the receipt of the warrant register for payments made by the city since your last City Council meeting. Total payments totaled a little over $2 million. It'll cover those that exceed $100,000. There were 4 of those payments that exceeded $100,000. The first was a payment to Pacific Gas and Electric for the August 2026 utilities in the water fund for the amount of $352,562.83. Next payment was made to Newton Construction. This is for the public safety training tower equipment at Fire Station, or just behind Fire Station 3, paid out of the Capital Improvement Fund in the amount of $218,683.35. Next payment is made to Pacific Gas and Electric, and this is for August 2025 utilities for general funded utilities in the amount of $118,634.02. And last is a payment to Best Best and Krieger for July attorney's fees. Those come from a variety of different funding sources, including developer reimbursements, in the amount of $153,126.68. Moving on, item number 3 was the approval of the Housing Constraints and Opportunities Committee appointments. These were for appointments specific to certain organizations, including the Home Builders Association, the Chamber of Commerce, and a local real estate professional. And then the last item on tonight's consent agenda was the approval of a final map, track number 3176-1, for recordation. This is within the Veneto Planning Areas 3 and 8. There were several items that you approved to affect this action. One that I'd like to highlight is the subdivision improvement agreement that allows for the assurance that certain improvements will be made within that track that will eventually become city assets. So with that, that concludes the overview of the consent calendar.
Thank you, Chris. Moving on, we have actually no items on the public hearings tonight. We'll move on to discussion items. First up on that is an oak tree removal permit, 25-11, request to remove oak tree number 28 in the Olson South Chandler specific plan. And Darren Nash, do you have that item for us?
Yes, sir. Is this mic working? Yep. Darren Nash, city planner. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, what's before you tonight is an oak tree removal by Olson 212. They are the master developer of the Olson South Chandler specific plan, otherwise known as Veneto. The location of this tree is it's south of Lane Road and east of Sherwood Road. It's within the PG&E boundary known as Planning Area 21. So this is what's named as tree number 28. The request is to remove the tree. The tree is a 38-inch diameter valley oak. It's located on top of a knoll, again in that Planning Area 21. Arborist Outhouse and Mead looked at this tree on behalf of the applicant, and then the city also had a contract arborist review the tree and its current condition. Both arborists have indicated that the tree is in good condition given the